Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Thursday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. We appreciate you tuning in over 97.9 The Hill and streaming us through chapelboro.com to help wrap up your day. We certainly have a good bit of news to get to, some on the local level and some on the state. We begin with the statewide news that happened on the local level today. The UNC System Board of Governors held its full board meeting in Chapel Hill, the latest ahead of a new academic year for its 17 system schools. Some highlights from that meeting: no word about a performance review or potential removal of UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz, despite some around the Chapel Hill campus saying last week they believed that would be discussed. The board did take action on a resolution about the delegation of authority from the UNC system to individual campuses. The measure will require schools to submit a restatement of authority to the BOG in the coming months that outlines how power is delegated between chancellors, trustees, and other officials on specific campuses. UNC System President Peter Hans also announced that the system aims to soon relocate and consolidate its offices to the Center for School Leadership Development, which is in Chapel Hill and where their meetings have been held by the Friday Center. Continuing with some state news, the North Carolina government and many other local governments in the state could soon receive $750 million combined thanks to a national settlement with several opioid producers. That is according to Attorney General Josh Stein, who is one of several attorneys general who negotiated the $26 billion proposal. He shared details of this yesterday and saying that the proposed agreement with pharmaceutical companies involved in the opioid epidemic would be to fund methods to better address that public health crisis. Now, the opioid epidemic has kind of taken a back seat during the COVID-19 pandemic for many people in terms of the addressing of it, but that public health crisis is also continuing to see its numbers rise again despite the presence of coronavirus vaccines. Governor Roy Cooper held a briefing yesterday to address concerns about increased spread caused by the Delta variant. During that, he and health officials with the state released updated guidelines for masking in schools this fall. 97.9 The Hill's Ben Rappaport has more on this measure aimed at keeping kids in the classroom.
The statewide mask mandate is set to expire at the end of the month, and Governor Roy Cooper is not planning to renew it. He is, however, issuing a new toolkit for schools across the state as they return to in-person learning next month. At a press briefing on Wednesday, Cooper said the new guidance urges school boards to require masks regardless of vaccination status in K-8 schools and recommended masking for unvaccinated students and staff in high schools.
The most important work our state will do next month is getting all of our children back into classrooms safely for in-person learning. That's the best way for them to learn, and we want their school days to be as close to normal as possible, especially after the year of disruption they just had.
While COVID vaccines are currently available to everyone over the age of 12, many students have yet to receive their shots. Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, Mandy Cohen, said just 24% of eligible North Carolinians ages 12 through 17 are fully vaccinated.
We still have a long way to go. Schools need to use the additional safety protocols outlined in the Strong Schools NC Public Health Toolkit to continue to protect students and staff as we enter the new school year.
Cohen said the toolkit is meant to keep students safely in the classroom through a layered prevention strategy. These guidelines, however, will not be legally required, which puts the responsibility on school boards for enforcement. More than 1,400 new COVID-19 cases were reported in North Carolina this week, and the state saw its highest test positivity rate since May. State officials said the spike in cases is due to the emergence of the Delta variant, which is more transmissible than the original strain of the virus. Cohen said more than 80% of the new cases in the state are from the variant, but those cases are largely from those who haven't gotten their vaccines.
94% of the cases and hospitalizations we have now are in people who are not vaccinated. The Delta variant is formidable, but vaccines are the best way to protect your health.
Even with more prevention strategies in schools, Cohen said getting more young people vaccinated is the best way to slow the spread of COVID and keep students at school. The fully updated toolkit is available at ncdhhs.gov. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ben Rappaport.
Now, following Governor Cooper's availability, the Orange County mayors and chair of the county commissioners, Renee Price, met to discuss those comments from Cooper. We spoke with Price afterward to get her thoughts on that and then the guidance for schools, and she also shared thoughts about the vacancy on the Board of County Commissioners. Four women across the Chapel Hill and Carrboro area submitted their names recently to be the new District 1 representative on the board. Either Penny Rich, Ronnie Dossey, Anna Richards, or Marilyn Carter will ultimately replace Commissioner Mark Dorson in that seat as he is set to step down and move away from North Carolina. Price shared what the timeline is for the Orange County government to make a selection from that pool of applicants, as well as how community members can learn more about each of them right now.
I want to let people know that as soon as we had all the applications in, they were online and ready to go right about 5:10, 5:15. So everyone can read the applications and the answers to the questions that we posed to the applicants online. And I believe that probably all of them by now have put it on their own Facebook pages and whatnot. So we will be reviewing the applications. The general public can review. And then, of course, the Democratic Party will be reviewing. They have scheduled a meeting, I believe, for August 16th, the County Executive Committee meeting, and they will hear from the candidates. I think they're going to give them maybe 2 or 3 minutes to speak, and then they will render some kind of recommendation at the end of that meeting, which will then come to the commissioners for our consideration as we get ready to make our final decision on September 2nd. And I suppose, you know, whomever we decide on will be sworn in by the end of the month.
Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price, speaking there. Again, if you want to hear that full conversation we had with her, check out the audio archives for News on the Hill on our Chapel Borough homepage. Taking a look at some sports news from today across our region, turning to football first, 4-star running back Omarion Hampton from Clayton, North Carolina, committed to the UNC football program this afternoon. Hampton is ranked the number 12th running back in the nation and the number 4 player from the state of North Carolina for the class of 2022 per 247 Sports. His three finalists were Carolina, Penn State, and Florida, so the pickup is a big win for the Carolina team. He now becomes their highest player in the recruiting class of 2020, the highest rated player, I should say, in the class of 2022 recruiting class so far. A current Carolina running back is getting some preseason buzz for an award as Ty Chandler was selected as a preseason candidate for the 2021 Doak Walker Award. The PWC-SMU Athletic Forum presents that award annually to the nation's top college running back. And while Carolina fans haven't seen Chandler in action yet in Carolina blue, he certainly has the history after transferring from Tennessee to show to be in that discussion for the Doak Walker Award. At Tennessee, he totaled more than 2,000 rushing yards and actually ranks fifth in school history with 3,245 all-purpose yards across 45 games played. He led the Vols in rushing in both 2018 and 2019 and has scored 17 career touchdowns, most of them being rushing, but he's got 3 receiving touchdowns and 1 kickoff return touchdown with the Volunteers as well. And taking a look at another team that will be active in the fall and definitely gunning for another national title, the UNC field hockey team learned what their schedule is going to be for this upcoming 2021 season. The timeline is a little back to normal. They just finished up the 2020 season just 2 months ago as Carolina won their third straight national title over Michigan. But with things returning back to a more normal in the COVID-19 pandemic realm, it does look like the timeline is back to normal, with the first game of the season being August 27th against the Michigan Wolverines in a rematch of that national championship game from May. It'll be part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge in Iowa City, Iowa, and 2 days later after facing the Wolverines, UNC is going to face the host city Hawkeyes on August 29th. If you want to check out that full schedule for the defending field hockey champs, be sure to check out our website, chapelborough.com. They've got 6 home games and a good slate of ACC opponents again this year, too. Turning to the northern part of Orange County, as we have some rock news from there. A historic rock near downtown Mebane is at risk of being destroyed as a new housing development is constructed. According to local legend, the Stagecoach Rock dates back to the early 1800s, meaning it's a relic from an era where stagecoaches were actually passing along that popular intersection from across North Carolina. 97.9 The Hill's Elk Harris has more on the rock and what some local residents are trying to do in order to preserve that piece of Mebane's history.
Next to Lebanon Road, at the corner of Stagecoach Road, stands a massive rock with centuries of historical names carved into it, dating as far back as the early 1800s. The most prominent name features Jay Whitaker, with the date 1828 etched on the front. According to local lore, Whitaker tragically died when his stagecoach, which was rolling downhill towards Hillsboro, hit a bump in the road and spooked the horses. He was thrown against the rock and killed, and then buried there. Locals engraved his name and date of death on the stone. The marker is listed on cemetery census as a grave. Since that date, nearly 200 years ago, other prominent locals have also engraved their names on the stone, including the name B.H. Mebane, along with the date 1906. Longtime Mebane resident Gary Clark, who started researching the mysterious rock 20 years ago, said he believes this name has a direct tie to the city's namesake.
There's a lot of names on this rock. It's B.H. Mebane, Banks Holt Mebane. He, in my research, I tie him into being the great-great-nephew of Alexander Mebane, which the town of Mebane is named after.
However, the fate of the landmark is now uncertain, with the ongoing construction of Stagecoach Corner, a new housing development featuring 35 single-family homes on the corner of Stagecoach Road and 9th Street. Currently, the rock is located very close to one of Stagecoach Corner's future entrances. City officials said if the rock were to remain there, it could create issues and dangers for drivers. When the development was first proposed, research was done by the city to see if the rock could be moved or protected. However, the rock was found to be immovable. While Clark is unsure that that is the case, he thinks developers could get creative to preserve the piece of history.
Move the road. Move the entrance a little bit. I mean, the rock's been there since the beginning of the town. I think they should move the road. But easier to move the road, put a guardrail up, you know, make it the centerpiece of the neighborhood. The new neighborhood is called Stagecoach Corner, and it's off of Stagecoach Road. Well, here's a rock that has the name of the stagecoach driver on it, but they want to destroy it. I just don't understand it.
A 2019 letter from the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources concerning whether the rock should prevent construction of Stagecoach Corner said the department, quote, conducted a review of the project and are aware of no historic resources which would be affected by the project, end quote. Clark disagrees. He said he found a name even older than Jay Whitaker, dating all the way back to 1817. Anything that rich in history, he said, has a right to stay.
Yeah, 1817, that's pretty old in my book. That was 34 years after America won its independence from Britain. And that's 14 years before the Trail of Tears. So I'm just wanting the people of Orange County to hear this story. I lived here 10 years before I'd heard about it. I think people in Orange County deserve to hear this story and enjoy the history of it.
Ultimately, Clark wants Stagecoach Rock to be moved and preserved. However, if this can't happen, he hopes the city of Mebane will at the very least properly document the names engraved for posterity's sake.
That's my main goal, is to get people to know about this thing before, if it is destroyed, but you know, once it's destroyed, it's gone. You know, we can read about it in books and newspaper articles. People really need to know about this rock. It's part of their history.
Many residents alongside Clark are also trying to save Stagecoach Rock and have since put together a petition with more than 1,000 signatures, even going so far as offering to make room for the stone in their own yards. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elk Harris.